All right. I wish to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be here with you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, God, upon this time together. Lord, help us to draw strength from you and courage, Lord, to be faithful. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we just ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. And help us, Lord, to understand and apply what we hear, Father. Help us truly have grateful hearts, Lord. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Count your many blessings. That's something we can all do, but how often do we do it? You know, it seems like the more successful we are, the more the better things go our way, the more grumbling and complaining we do. But do you find someone that's just trusting in the Lord with nothing and they can just count their blessings and just be happy? And so it's a reminder to us that to have that attitude, that spirit of just being grateful to God for all things. He is so good to us that we get so caught up in performing, or we get so caught up in this world or the things that we're doing, that we just are oblivious to our real need for the Lord and what He has actually done for us. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Verse 7 is where we'll begin to read. It says, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" Here we have the situation. This man's been working in a field all day. You know, after you've been working all day, you're usually hot and tired, and you just want to clean up and get something to eat and just relax a little while. Well, this man had worked all day in the field, and he came in, and instead of being able to take care of himself, for himself, he was told, "Go clean yourself up. Make yourself presentable to me. I don't want you around me looking dirty like that. You go clean yourself up and then prepare me something to eat. And after you've done all of that, then you can go eat." What kind of attitude do you think most people would have after you've worked all day and you get ready to go clean up and go just rest and take the day off? And someone comes in and says, "No, it's not time for that. You've got to go fix my dinner first." And this was in a time whenever you cooked dinner, you had to go start a fire. You might have had to go kill something and prepare it. This was no easy task. This is after you worked all day long. You're tired. You're wore out. And your boss or the master says, "Well, you're not done yet. you've got to fix me dinner. What kind of attitude would we have? We think, well, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've worked hard all day. I did things he didn't even know I did. And here, instead of being rewarded for what I've done all day, now I'm having to do extra. We kind of think ourselves pretty special, don't we? That after we've done what we think we're supposed to do, we ought to get patted on the back and get rewarded for it. Get a big, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Get praised, get a trophy, all kinds of things, because we've done what we're supposed to do. The Bible tells us that, does he not thank the slave? Does he not thank him for the things he did? He says no. No thanks, no praise, only another rule. Well, we would think, well, that guy's a tyrant. Boy, how mean, how cruel he is. Doesn't he know I deserve better than that? Doesn't he know I've worked all day for him? That's how we get to thinking sometimes whenever we've just done what we're supposed to do. There is no great reward waiting for people who have just done what they're supposed to do. That's their reasonable service, the Bible talks about, to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not over and above. It's not outstanding. It's your reasonable service to do those things. You know, sometimes we think because we obey God, we keep God's laws, we keep the teachings of Jesus, we do what the Bible says, but somehow that makes us a little bit superior. That we're really just, God is just smiling all the way at us because we're just doing and keeping His laws and His commandments, His teachings. We get so full of ourselves and so proud because we're doing what's right. We think we're so special because we've done what's right. We're really doing what's right. If you give your children chores every day and you set down some rules in your house, don't hit your brother or sister. Don't get angry with your brother or sister. Don't steal something that's your brother's and sister's. Don't tattle on your brother and sister. Whenever your children don't do those things, do you even think about it? Hardly even give it a thought, because they're just doing what you expect them to do. There's no great reward for them not getting angry at their brother or sister and hitting them. There's a punishment for it. There's no great reward for it. They ought to just love their brother and sister. Now, if they go out of their way and do something extraordinarily special for the other one, then we might take notice of that. But in the general run of the home, whenever everybody's just doing what they're supposed to do, we don't break out the blue ribbons. We don't break out the trophies for them just doing what they're supposed to do. It's natural for us to do what we're supposed to do. It's what we were created to do, to what we're supposed to do. Sometimes they might go out of their way and just really do something extra and do something special. They might see a need that we didn't even tell them about, and they go take care of it, or they go fix it. And sometimes we'll recognize that, and we're thankful for it. But they haven't done anything great just because they've been what they're supposed to be. You know, we can look at the world and see how bad they are sometimes, how bad they are. And we can do like the Pharisee and beat upon our breast and say, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm not like them. I don't cause any problems. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't hate everybody. I'm glad I'm not like them. I was trained better than that." And so we beat upon our breast and think we've really done something. But you see what Jesus said about the person who was like that? He wasn't interested in that at all. He hated it. Someone puffed up for doing what is right. How wrong is that? Someone to really think they're something special because they didn't hurt anybody else. "Oh, I didn't hurt nobody today. I'm pretty good, ain't I? I didn't go around telling lies today. That makes me pretty special, doesn't it? I didn't steal nothing today. Boy, I did good, didn't I?" See the foolishness of thinking that we're something special because we just did what we were supposed to do? Because we just did what we were created to do? That's where, when we're just doing what we're supposed to do, and we get thinking that we've really accomplished something, that's where the works comes in. We think we're really doing something special. But all we're doing is what we were created to do. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who pass judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds." You see, whenever we I want to read another verse here. Whenever we see whatever everyone else is doing, and we begin to compare ourselves to what the world is doing, most of us begin to get proud. that we're not doing those things. And oftentimes, what we see in others, the problems that we see in others, the reason we see them so clearly is because it is so close to who we really are. We may not do those things because we've been trained not to, or we've learned not to, but in our heart, that's really what we are. And so we begin to hate what we see in ourselves, and we begin to recognize it in others. That's what this judgment is all about. Judgment is not just saying that something is wrong. There is right and wrong. So many people think because you say something is wrong that you're a judge, that you're judgmental because you say something that's right and wrong. But it's our attitude and how we say those things. Whenever we look at someone and anger rises up in us because of their sin, it's usually because there's something in us that we loathe and we hate. And so that's rising up in us, and we just see that reflected in someone else. So often, people are so upset with what someone else is doing, it's because what they really are themselves. So much of the world today is so upside down and so backwards. I want to read this verse here in Mark chapter 3, a few verses, beginning in verse 20. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he has lost his senses. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and he cast out the demons by the ruler of demons. And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is finished. What I want to point out here in this is, when his own people heard of all this great crowd that was around him, what did they say? He is beside himself. He has lost his mind. And King James puts it in that way, that he's not in his right mind. And I want you to think about this just for a minute. This is how the world operates. This is how we operate. Whenever who is more in their right mind than Jesus? Whatever he's doing, all of his life, you look at his life, and that's what he was doing. Instead of rebutting them, he just said, can Satan, look at the evidence here of what's real. Who has a sound mind? Jesus does. Who doesn't have a sound mind? The world, and those who don't want to hear him. those who are jealous, or those who are envious of what He's doing, are not in the right mind. And what are they accusing Him of being? Not in His right mind. So many times you hear somebody railing accusations against you or against anyone else, and 90% of the time, they are railing accusations of what they're doing against someone else. These people were not in their right mind. Christ had come into this world. Wisdom, the King, power, glory, honor, all knowledge came into the world. And people said, He's not in His right mind. Who is not in their right mind? It's not Jesus. It's the people that are saying this about Him. The next group comes up and said, He is doing miracles by the power of Satan. He's casting out these devils because He's full of the devil. You see how it works? Jesus wasn't casting out devils because He was the King of the devils. And He explained that. If I'm casting out devils because I'm the King of the devils, my house is divided and it won't stand. That's how He reasoned with it. That's how someone in a sound mind tries to reason with someone who isn't in a sound mind. The majority of this world is not of a sound mind, no matter how sound it may seem. Whenever they accuse Him of being full of the devil, whenever He's God Himself, the actual opposite of the devil, what do you think their problem is? They are full of the devil. They are operating and doing things in the power of Satan. They are operating under the demonic influence. You see, there's two spirits in the world. You know, we wonder sometimes why people can't even see the most basic things of reason. You know, it's almost, you can't even reason with a lot of people. They just, their minds just, they can't understand it. There's two spirits in the world. And we're either of the Spirit of God. You know, we think of someone, well, they're possessed by the devil. And we think of someone pulling their hair out and screaming and hollering and running and yelling and cussing and fighting. Oh, they're full of the devil. No, that's just one that the devil lost his hold on. The devil don't want people running around like that representing him. The people that are representing Him can look just as sane as everyone else. Can be just as nice and have a big nice smile. You know, we think of someone being demon possessed as someone just crazy, out of their mind. But you know, the smoothest person in the world, the person that can just say things and everybody believes them, that person's just as full of the devil as the crazy one. This is real. We are in a spiritual battle. And it's so easy for us to recognize the spirits that bother us and blame it on one who we see it in. His own people heard of this. They went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he has lost his senses. How opposite. The Bible says, woe unto the world whenever they call black white and white black. They call good evil and evil good. We're living in that right now. People call what is good evil, and they call what is evil good. That's how Satan operates. That's how he operates. He just makes us, he convinces us of that. So easy for us, because we think that we've kept a few of the rules, that we've done pretty good. It's so easy for us just to fall into that camp, puffing ourselves up and being full of pride. You know, when we think about the devil, when he was in heaven, man, he did everything right. He wasn't just always conniving, and he was doing what he was supposed to do. He was performing so great, he thought, whenever he was actually just doing what God had made him to do. But he began to think, wow, I'm so good at this. Everybody just ought to step back because I'm so much better. Wow. The Bible says that he became full of himself. So full of pride. He was just doing what he was created to do. He didn't do one thing extraordinary or special. But he began to think that he was better than the rest. And he lifted himself up, just like we can do. And the point is he wasn't a bad angel. God didn't make him bad. He made him the way he wanted him to. And he allowed pride to puff himself up. He wasn't one of those, well, there wasn't even one then, one of those bad sinners. He was what he was supposed to be. And we, when we're doing what we're supposed to be, are just doing what we're supposed to. It's so easy for us to think that because we're just... The point is, you can fail. You can fail and not do anything wrong. And that's why the count your blessings is a good idea. It's the goodness of God that has led any of us to repentance. It's the mercy of God that has given us even the inkling to think that we ought to be doing what we should be doing. You know, we look at the world and we see people in such a state, such a condition. We don't know how they got there. They got there because God's not able to speak to them at all. I just think so many times, I've thought about it before, I've told you about it many, many times. Why were you born where you're born? I've thought about it. Why wasn't I born in the middle of a city with drug addict parents? Or if you had any parents. Where would I be? Where would I be? I know some of us have come out of some situations that are kind of bad. Are we proud of it? Or are we just so thankful to God? Why? What have I ever done to deserve even one? The blessings I've known. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do that was worthy of you? Why me, Lord? That ought to humble us, make us so grateful, so full of praise and thanksgiving. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I was just thinking when you were talking about Satan, thinking he was really something for doing just what he was created to do. And I was thinking how we can tend to compare ourselves to other people, you know, and judge ourselves or judge each other by comparing with each other, and how that can get us going down the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. When it's so much better if we can just do what we're supposed to do, and we don't have to worry about where everybody's at. We just do what we're supposed to do, and then we're where we're supposed to be.
Exactly. Praise the Lord.
Lord, He sends us aside His glorious sea. Crown Him, crown Him, crown Him. bless me.